Well, let's give our attention now to God's Word, and I sent you to John chapter 21. We began looking at this passage that we're going to read in a moment. We began to look at this passage last week here in the 21st and final chapter of John's Gospel, where we see Jesus came to the disciples for a third time. And I don't want to miss the importance of this proof again. We have this appearance of Jesus to the disciples. He shows himself to them again. And this important proof, again, of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead. That's not a myth. That's not a fairy tale. It's a fact. Amen. And we have evidence of it in God's Word because there were many who witnessed Jesus' presence after his resurrection. And here is another one before us today. And the disciples see him again on this day. But Jesus came to his disciples in such an interesting way that when we stop and read this and we slow down and consider what's going on here, you have to recognize Jesus is still teaching. He's still teaching his disciples. They still have lessons to learn, and Jesus is all about helping them along the way while he is still with them. And there were lessons for them to learn as Jesus came to them this day. And these are still lessons for followers of Jesus Christ to take note of and apply to their own lives. So these lessons are also for us today. If you say you're a believer in Jesus, then God's Word calls you a disciple, and a disciple is a follower. So you're supposed to follow Jesus. And when we come to these lessons in God's Word, and it's not just the words of Jesus that are important, it's all of God's Word. All of God's Word is the Lord's Word. But these lessons that we happen to see here in chapter 21 is Jesus coming to his disciples, and he's not wasting another opportunity. Here's another opportunity, and he is going to use it to teach them as I believe he always did with them when he was with them. He's always teaching them. And so we considered one of the lessons last time. We're going to kind of cover that as a quick review in just a moment. But let's look at the passage. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. You can follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from the English Standard Version. John 21, verse 1. After this, what we saw in chapter 20. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And verse 4 says, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Let me say it again. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him. I wonder how they answered them. We can only guess. "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." And so they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, John's talking about himself here, the author, the writer of this, is the Holy Spirit inspired him to write these words. John says about himself, that disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And other disciples came in the boat. The other disciples came, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Far enough. Verse 9, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So back in chapter 20, we heard that wonderful declaration of truth from the mouth of Thomas. When he finally saw Jesus, he declared, "My Lord and my God." So don't call him Doubting Thomas anymore. He's Believing Thomas. He finally saw the Lord for himself. And he believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But when we begin to read chapter 21, we learn that some time has passed. We're not told how much time, but some days probably have passed. We don't know how many days, but some time has passed. And we have here Jesus appearing for a third time, presenting himself to his disciples here as they're fishing. Now, this time it seems he's shown himself to the disciples for the purpose. He probably has many purposes here and many, many reasons and lessons for them, but this purpose for equipping them, for encouraging them, preparing them for the mission he's sending them on. And I think this is incredibly kind of Jesus to come to them. You'll see here in a moment, he came to them where they were and to show himself to them again. How kind of Jesus to come to them and be gracious to them, and even though they had disobeyed. Now you say, how had they disobeyed? Here they were fishing. Peter had led the way saying, "I'm going fishing." And then the others followed him, but that's not what Jesus had told them to do. We know this if we were to go back to Matthew 28 and verse 10. Jesus had actually told them to go to Galilee because they would see him there. And verse 10 in Matthew 28 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" No mention of fishing there. He not told them to go fishing. Because in Matthew, again, Matthew's gospel, we're told that Jesus had actually sent them to a mountain. He had sent them to a mountain where he would meet them. Matthew 28, verse 16 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee." 11 disciples went to Galilee. Remember, Judas no longer. So no longer 12, but 11. "To the mountain to which Jesus had directed them." Hard to fish from your boat on a mountain. It's hard to fish from the Sea of Tiberias in your boat if you're on the mountain like you're supposed to be. So again, how gracious. Just think of that, how gracious of the Lord Jesus Christ to show himself to his disobedient disciples. Here they were fishing when they shouldn't have been. Even though they had disobeyed, God is gracious to them. And I can think of times in my life when I have not been obedient to the Lord and how gracious he has been to me. And I wonder if you can think of times like that, when you have run from the Lord. And I can think of a time specifically when I said, "I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing that." We know somebody like that from the Bible, don't we? Many someone's like that, but Jonah probably leaps to your mind. Not a good place to live. I'll tell you, that's a miserable place to live. I would spare you that experience, and you can spare yourself that experience if you'll obey God's word and do what the Lord wants you to do and honor him with your life. But sometimes we need to experience things the hard way before we get we sober up and our attention is fixed where it should be. I hear the disciples doing their own thing, and how gracious of the Lord Jesus Christ to come to them even while they're not being obedient to him. There's something interesting here, too. When Peter says he's going fishing, six of the others follow him. And it's interesting to note here that when you dig deep into the original languages, and I always need Bible scholars to help me with these kinds of things as we go deeper into the language, the original language that we're reading a translation of, Peter's statement is actually more emphatic. It's like, "I'm going back to my old career." It's not like, "I'm just going to go fishing, guys. Let's go have some fun together." He's actually saying a statement like, "I'm going to go back to my old job. That's what I know how to do. I'm going back, and I'm going to go fishing." And they go with him. So obviously they still need to learn and they need to grow in their faith in Jesus. And we're like that at times. The Lord is patient with us, and the Lord is good sometimes to get our attention where we're being disobedient, and we realize we need to grow and learn, or at least He knows we need to learn and grow, and He gives us a lesson that will help us learn and grow. And sometimes we want to throw those lessons off and say, I don't want that. But the Lord knows what we need, and they needed still to be taught and grown in their faith. And we noted it here last time, and here was the point that we dealt with last time, this truth, and we need to get this, that without Jesus, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. In fact, it actually goes back to before your faith in Jesus, before you came to faith and trust in Jesus. This is something that believers need to recognize. That I need Jesus' work in my heart every day, even as a believer, with the truth of God's Word, helping me walk in obedience to His Word, helping me honor Him with my obedience, and to give Him glory and praise that's due His name with the way that I live. But before you came to Christ, you needed Jesus' help. You actually needed to be given faith to believe, because without His help to believe in Jesus, the Bible says you were actually dead in your trespasses and sins. And we all know what a dead person can do. Nothing. So before Christ saved you, before He gave you faith to believe in Him, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, says God's Word. And so we have this wonderful reminder that Jesus comes to us in our sinfulness, and God draws sinners to Himself and gives them eyes to see, faith to believe. So even before the faith, Jesus is working on your behalf to open your eyes to see Him clearly. And obviously here, though the disciples have faith, they believe in Jesus, they still need to grow in their faith. And this is still true of you. If you're a believer in Jesus, you still need to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they worked, those disciples, they went out and they fished all night and they worked hard, but they were not working with the Lord Jesus Christ's approval. They were not working at His direction. So there's a lesson for us here in this, that you can work hard, and you can labor as hard as you possibly can, and you can still fail. Now, these disciples had failed at their work, even though they had worked all night, and they had been patient. You want to say they're patient? They fished all night with not a fish caught. They worked hard. They fished all night. They caught nothing. But they did so at their own energy. They did it without the Lord's help. And without Jesus, you can do nothing. Let's remember that. Let's remember to look to our Savior. Let's look to His Word always for wisdom. Let's count on the Lord's strength giving us help through each day to honor Him and glorify Him with our work, the work of our hands, with our attitude, our speech, our conduct. So this is a lesson, a spiritual lesson for the disciples, and it's one that we need to take to heart, that without Jesus we can do nothing. Without Jesus, you will fail, but only with obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ will there be success that honors and glorifies God. Now, you might have some success in the things that you do that the world recognizes as success, but if you're not being obedient to the Lord, it's not success in God's eyes, and you ought to be more concerned with what God thinks than with what people think. Because God will not bless if you run on ahead of Him in disobedience. Or if you run away from Him in disobedience, God will not bless. It is not good for you for God to bless you in your disobedience. You might get the idea that you can keep doing your own thing. And I thank the Lord for the times when I was disobedient, God allowed me to be miserable in my disobedience because it got my attention. And maybe that's true for you. Maybe you can identify with that. It would not be good for you if God blessed you while you're being disobedient. So the Lord didn't bless the disciples' efforts to fish because He hadn't told them to go fish. It's kind of like the father and the son who go out for a walk in the woods, and the father knows where he's going. He's familiar with the woods. The son is not. And you can picture it, can't you? What happens when you go for a walk with a youngster? We do this with our grandkids, and I did not go for a walk yesterday with my grandkids, but they went for a walk with Grandma, and did they stay with you, Grandma? The grandkids ran on ahead, right? So a father takes his son out to the woods, and they go for a walk. The father knows where he's going. Does the son know? No, he doesn't. But what does the son do? He runs on ahead like he thinks he knows where he's going, and the father's know, like, hey, back here, we're going this way. Now, it wouldn't be good for the son, for the father to go, well, you know, whatever, see ya. You don't know where you're going, but I'm going this way. And let his son get lost in the woods. But the Lord is gracious, isn't he? And he's patient with us. But yet we're like the little boy in the woods with his dad and who takes off like we know where we're going. And he's saying, follow me. I have to say that to Carolyn sometimes. We're going somewhere and I know where we're going and she doesn't. And yet she likes, and I'm like, stick with me. You'll be fine. But sometimes, you know, we're like, hey, let's stay together. The Lord wants you to stay with him. The Lord wants you to walk with him. He'll lead you in the path that you should go if you'll turn to his word and humble yourself before his instruction and realize that this is God speaking to you, the creator of the universe who knows what you need and knows what's best for you. So here we are with the disciples fishing all night and catching nothing because they've run on ahead of Jesus. They've gone without the instruction that they needed. But Jesus comes to them. Isn't that sweet? Jesus comes to them. He doesn't leave them hanging. He comes to them and he finds them. Of course, the Lord knows where to find them because he's God in human flesh. And he comes and he finds them in his risen state. But Jesus comes to them on the shore. And then he calls out to them. And here's another, we're going to learn another spiritual lesson here. He calls out to them and he says, have you caught anything? Are the fish biting? Are there any in your net? He calls out and asks if they've caught anything, and you know the answer is no. What he wants them to admit is that they have failed. He wants them to admit that they have failed. No, no, they say in answer to the question, have you caught anything? And there's a lesson for us in that too. God only blesses obedience. We talked about it already just a little bit, but God only blesses obedience. So he wants us to realize when we're wrong and admit that we were wrong. He wants us to admit when we've sinned against him and confess that as sin and thank him for the forgiveness that's already ours. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, those sins are forgiven, even the ones you haven't committed yet. Do you realize that? God doesn't bless us unless we obey. And sometimes we need to get to the point where we realize, I am sinning and I am not honoring God. And I need to repent of that sin. When you repent, you're not asking God to come and be gracious to you again. He's already been gracious to you at Calvary. And he has forgiven you. What you need to recognize is that you're forgiven in Christ. And that he wants you to walk in obedience. And so you can thank him for the forgiveness that's yours. And then you can ask him for the help that he wants to give you if you'll ask for it and then surrender to his word and begin to walk in obedience to his word. God is so gracious, but he will not bless disobedience. It is not in our best interest for God to bless our disobedience. So the sooner you realize that without Jesus you can do nothing, and the sooner you understand that you are a weak individual and you need the Savior's help and you need the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to empower you to obey his word, the sooner you can get back to the path of obedience and the sooner you can be back on the path of blessing, which is through obedience, the sooner you get back to walking with the Lord instead of running ahead and doing your own thing, the sooner you get back to the blessings that only God will give to his children who seek to honor him in the way that they live. We need to learn this. It's such an important thing for us to learn. And there's two ways to think about this. One way is, as individual believers, we need to learn to recognize that at times we are being disobedient, and that is not honoring to God. And we need to get back to the path of obedience and the path that's blessing when God honors our obedience. The other way to think about this is as a church. So as a group of believers, we need to be obedient in the way that we minister, in the way that we proclaim the truth of God's Word. We must be truthful with God's Word. We cannot make it say things that we want it to say because we don't like what it says. We also need to serve in a way as a church together as the body of Christ in a way that honors the Lord. So we don't need to be pragmatic and think, let's see, what works? What can we come up with? What slick way of presenting the truth can we come up with that works? I'll tell you what works because God tells us what works. The preaching of the gospel works. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Preach the word, says God's word. Be patient, reprove, rebuke with complete patience and teaching. Here's what we have. We have the living and active Word of God. We don't need any clever schemes. You know, we're going to have opportunities to share the gospel at Vacation Bible School, but the whole point of doing that is to teach the Word and preach the Word. Yes, we have opportunities to gather. The ladies gathered yesterday for a time of fellowship, and sometimes we have a carry-in dinner and times to get together, but those things are far less important than the preaching of the Word. We had better do those things with the preaching of the Word. Those times together are good, and it's good fellowship. But our gathering together as the church should be based on the fact that we believe God's Word and we must obey it as individuals and collectively as the body of Christ, as a church. So let's be careful as we live in this world as individuals not to be distracted by the world's ways of tempting us to do its thing. And let's be careful as a church that we not be distracted by other churches who are doing things that seem to be working, because there are some really huge churches in our nation that some of them I don't believe are really preaching the truth of God's Word, but they sure know how to fill a building. And it's something that makes me grieve when I think of all the people that are being led astray. When here's an opportunity to preach the word, preach the truth of God's word, make the truth, the gospel, plain to those put in your care and entrusted to you. So as a church, we need to take this seriously. God will not bless our disobedience. If we're disobedient as a church, He will not bless us. In fact, we could possibly fill this place with people and be disobedient along the way. So we need to be careful that we not think, what can we do to get more numbers? Although we would love to see every seat filled and every person hearing the word of God and hearing the truth proclaimed, what we need to be more concerned with is, how can we honor God more today than we did yesterday? How can we honor God in the way that we serve Him as a church? How can we be obedient to God's word and please Him in the way that we serve together? Not looking around for what works, but working with God's approval. Because God blesses your work when you work for His approval and for no one else's. So that's an important lesson for us. God blesses obedience. He will not bless disobedience. There's a wonderful and powerful example of this from the Old Testament. When you hear this in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, as Moses delivers to the people of Israel the word of the Lord and says this, listen, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Do you hear it? It doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? There's blessing for obedience. God blesses obedience, and the path to obedience is found in the way of faith. You must look to God's promises with faith. You must look to your Savior in faith. It's what the disciples needed to grow in. They needed to grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to learn that too. Seek to grow your faith in God. And the best way to do that, we could probably give you a dozen ways to do that, but I'll give you three, and they're the most important three, I think. Read God's Word. Talk to God's Word in prayer, and worship with God's people. So get connected with the church, right? Be with God's people. But you cannot leave out prayer. And you cannot leave out reading God's word. You're hearing the preaching of the word now, but I can't preach to you every day of the week. And it's not, you don't need me to preach to you every day of the week. God says you can learn from the word yourself. So read the word and make it your own. Put it into your soul. Become a lifelong Bible reader. Commit yourself to reading God's word. And as you read it, you will begin to know who God is and know how he thinks and how he wants you to think. And so if you want to grow your faith, get into the word. Talk to God about every facet of your life throughout your day. Not just a little 5-minute time of prayer in the morning, although that's good. But throughout the day, go to the Lord in prayer about every facet of your life and your work and your relationships and all those things that challenge you. And your faith will be strengthened as you seek to live by faith. Your faith will grow in the Lord as you seek to honor him with your life. God will be so gracious to you in that way. Listen to Hebrews 11:6, which says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." God rewards those who seek him. God blesses obedience, and you seek the Lord. You know what it is to seek the Lord? It's to trust him and obey him. We sing that little song, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy or blessed in Jesus but to trust and obey," right? You need to trust and obey for your own joy's sake, but to also honor the Lord. And that's where we're going next. Here's a third lesson. Thirdly, learn to give God the credit. Learn to give God the credit. You don't deserve the credit. I know you think you do, right? And we're prone to do that. Again, we kind of selfishly think that way. Look what I did. I came and I served all day and I labored all day. Is there anybody that's going to tell me, you know, like, great job? Now, I'm blessed and encouraged by many people who actually say to me, great job. And that's, I appreciate that. But be certain that when you see the Lord being served and God honored and glorified, yes, encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage them with a great job. Thank you for serving. But make sure you also give God the credit. When you see God's blessings in your life, don't think, look what I did. Make sure you give God the credit. Because those are God's blessings on you. And we see a note of this. It's kind of interesting. We can learn to give God the credit when you see this in verse 7. Look back at verse 7 again. The disciple whom Jesus loved, this is a gracious way of John speaking about himself, the Apostle John who penned these words at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle John says this about himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's not like he was the only disciple whom Jesus loved, but he was talking about himself here. Without using his own name. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, what did he say? It is the Lord. When did he realize that? It was after Jesus said, try the right side of the boat. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. And they couldn't pull the full net back in. Something that they hadn't experienced all night. It was in that moment John realizes that's Jesus. And he says, it is the Lord. And it's a reminder for us, I think, in that when you recognize the Lord at work, and oh, that God would help us recognize him at work, because he is always working. There should be no doubt in your mind. God is always working in everything. He is completely capable of being at work in everything. And so when you're experiencing something, say, God, I know you're working. Help me understand how you want me to glorify you and honor you in this. He may not show you how he's working, but ask for eyes to see how God is working. And when you recognize how God is working, be sure to give God the glory. Make sure you give him the credit. It is the Lord. Say it. Right? We ought to be able to look at those things that the Lord is and say, it's the Lord. Praise God. I thank God for that. Oh, those words should spill from our lips with whomever we're speaking to. We ought to praise God for His many blessings and be able to say with James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God does not change. He always blesses obedience. God is the one who blesses. God is the one who brings success if we obey. You may have success in the eyes of the world around you, but if you're not obeying God, you are not being successful according to God's idea of obedience and success. It is not your strength that you work with. You need the Lord's help. It's not your wisdom you work with. You need the Lord's wisdom. It's not even your ability to work. God gives gifts. It's not like you bring the gifts. God gives you the gifts, and you're to use them for His glory. We're taught this also from Philippians 4 and verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to, some of you know the rest, according to, He'll supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It all points back to Jesus. If you want to serve the Lord, that is a good thing. Do not try to serve the Lord in your own strength. Do not serve the Lord by trying to bless yourself. Be willing to wait for the Lord's blessing as you seek to honor Him and obey Him. Be willing to wait for the Lord's strength as you seek to obey Him. God will bless. God will give strength. God will give wisdom. He'll give you the gifts that you need to serve Him faithfully if you will follow Christ and follow His word. How remarkable that we see in this passage how Jesus shows concern for the daily needs of His disciples. And He feeds them breakfast. And I noted it last week, how ironic it is that they're out there fishing all night and Jesus has fish on the fire. He is ready to serve them breakfast. And He says, hey, bring some of those that you caught too. Bring those in. How gracious God is. May each of you who are His disciples today serve Him faithfully. Serve Him with a full heart of gratitude, a full heart that overflows with gratitude and joy. If you're not a believer today, I invite you to trust in Jesus Christ right where you are. I challenge you and I plead with you to, even in this moment, you can bow your head and offer a silent prayer of confession and repentance of sin to God, acknowledging that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and thanking the Lord for that Savior, Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin in prayer before God, even in this moment, and He'll save you and do a miracle in your life and give you new life in Christ. And believers, without Jesus, don't ever forget it, keep serving the Lord, but without Jesus you can do nothing. And learn that God only blesses obedience, and then learn to give God the credit, give God the glory when He brings the blessing.